Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Sean Cantwell and Adam Harahawk here at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this man sitting across from me here has been through the ringer in the last 24 hours. He's been dealing with all sorts of fun nonsense. He didn't have a voice yesterday.
I did not. I had one, but it was like, or maybe like, wow, what? Just get him a voice box, please. We're doing a great show tonight.
He barely has a voice today.
I do. And the rest of the show, the tail end of the show is about, thanks for listening. We'll see you later.
Right. You're just not going to hear from him for like the last hour of the show. There's only one reason he's here today. Yeah. I know what that is. Don't you play coy with me. You know as well as anybody does. The only reason you actually showed up today is because you just wanted to be able to rub it in my face over Michigan. Let's not pretend this is about anything other than that.
I mean, no. I mean, go blue.
I mean, your cheating Wolverines won a title. Good on you.
Yeah, it hasn't been vacated yet, so we're able to enjoy the moment.
Keyword being yet. Give it a minute. It'll happen.
I hope not. I hope that. Because, I mean, since we started this show in 2016, 2006, 1806, something like that, this is the first.
Yes, 1806.
1806. This is the first championship we've been able to talk about.
Indeed it is. Like, you haven't had. Of all the things, like, since we've been doing this show, we've had to deal with the Lions being, for the most part, terrible up until this year. Mm-hmm. We've had to deal with the Pistons being garbage, the Red Wings being garbage. Yep. And then finally, this state gets a national championship, and I don't even get to celebrate it because I hate your stupid effing school.
That does suck.
This is just my life, apparently. I just don't get to have any of the things I want.
Yeah. It's too bad. I mean, state will get back up there, buddy. It's okay.
Will it, though? Yeah. Is it?
It's going to be just fine, buddy. Yeah, Michigan State, yeah, you're not little brother. No, you're a big brother. You know, come on up here.
I hate you so very much.
Hey, as much ribbing as Michigan fans took in, you know, the past couple of years when state was going to the Rose Bowl and doing great things.
You know what's the difference? We didn't have to cheat to do it.
Oh, that you know of, that we know of.
You'd think it would have come out by now, you know, 10 years later.
No, because they probably finally like cheating. They're like, oh, bless their heart. They're trying. Give them this.
And, like, the thing is, I don't even care
They go to a cow college. They celebrate by burning couches. Just give them this.
Your school was burning couches last night, too. I don't know if you saw that, buddy.
No, I didn't see the game.
Oh, yeah. Your school, there's absolutely been several couch fires reported in Ann Arbor.
Really? See, now, I would have thought Ann Arbor, there'd just been, like, just, you know, a trillion gallons of espresso drank, and they're still awake, and, you know, poetry readings happening, and...
Nope, no such thing, sir. There was every bit as much as couch burning as there is as there would be at state, given the same circumstances when as I, there were.
When I used to party over at Eastern with my cousin, he and all his friends called Ann Arbor Little Moscow. Just a bunch of hippies and communists over there.
Oh, I believe it. I've heard as much.
That's oh yeah. So yeah, good. I mean, good on Michigan. I mean, we can play the too early to tell expectations for the team next year.
I'm sure we will.
I mean, good on Blake Corum for getting MVP. Well deserved, but I think he's going to the draft.
Probably is. That's entirely fair. Like, and he's probably gonna get drafted pretty high. Honestly, higher than McCarthy should get drafted. Like, if he decides to go,
absolutely. I think they both get drafted, but yeah, I think
I don't think McCarthy's a first rounder. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
Well, I was just kind of, I was like, now we got a great, you know, wide receiver or a running back. What is Blake Corum?
Yeah, running back.
Running back, and the Lions are doing really good to where they won't be able to draft him. Great. Great. Just great.
The Lions have a pretty damn solid running back room right now, though.
Have we heard about LaPorta?
He's not a running back, but no, we haven't heard.
I'm changing channels.
We're looking at probably about another 36 hours before we have info on that per Dan Campbell.
Okay.
At least that is what is being reported at this point in time.
I mean, yeah, they're going to have to really... Coach-wise, even if... Captain Khaki Pants jumps a wall. We still have that backup. He did really, really well when Harbaugh was gone. So,
oh, Sherrone Moore? No, absolutely.
Yeah, I think he'll be just fine.
You'll probably be better off, honestly. You won't have to have the distraction, the drama of, well, is Sherrone Moore going to leave for the NFL this week?
That is very true.
There is something to be said for not having to deal with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, there's something to be said for that. But, I mean, yeah, you're going to be missing Blake Corum, and McCarthy's going to be gone. I don't know who else, but they're going to have to retool a little bit. So I wouldn't expect to enjoy the moment now, because I wouldn't expect them to go back-to-back. So
J.J. McCarthy is projected to go 44th overall to the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Which I guess makes some sense because they don't have a they don't have a quarterback currently.
Right.
Like, they've got they have Aiden O'Connell, who's been starting since they benched Jimmy G.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think they see him as being a real option either. I haven't seen Corum come up. That's the odd thing here. Uh-huh. And he's a senior this year. They can't bring him back. So why is he not coming?
I think you're just missing his name.
No, I don't think so. There's no running backs in the first two rounds of this draft.
Wow.
That's kind of interesting in and of itself.
There he is. Number 71.
They have him projected to go 71st overall.
To who?
And that would be to the this per take-a-thon for what it's worth.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's not listed there either.
He's ranked 71st.
Okay, they have him projected to go 88th to the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, ouch. That one hurts. That hurts.
That's how it seems to go with these guys. Like, they pick up all the good, like, Michigan players down there. Because didn't they have Donovan Peoples-Jones, too, before we got him?
Yes, they did. Yep. Donovan Peoples-Jones. I remember that talk show. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about grandmothers who knit gun holsters.
What surprised me most here is that he's not even, like, the highest running back expected to go here. Trey Benson and Travion Henderson are projected ahead of him.
How up to date is this?
As of about 2 hours ago.
I mean, Blake Corum, his size is going to be a hindrance. I mean, he's only 5'8". He's a little guy.
I mean, that's fair, but he's only at this writing about, he's 5 inches shorter and only about 13 pounds lighter than Trey Benson, who's projected to go ahead of him. I'm looking for, Travion Henderson is a second rounder, they're saying. Travion Henderson's only 5'10", 214.
Really?
And he only had 11 touchdowns this season.
Jeez.
229 receiving yards, average of 5.9 yards a carry, for whatever that's all worth. So it's more yards per carry than Corum has, but Corum has scored quite a few touchdowns, and he's up. He has 1,245 rushing yards on the year. So apparently not even getting respect from the pro guys. That's a damn shame, really. Rather unfortunate, but...
Yeah.
So you're talking third rounder for him, which, I mean, you don't overpay for running backs as a general rule, so I'm not surprised that you don't have the first one coming in till the last pick of the second round, for whatever that's worth.
And this is all in Detroit. The NFL draft is in Detroit this year.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yes.
Ooh. Wow. A draft happening in Detroit. Somebody get Gary Bettman on the phone. Maybe he would like to know some of this information.
Or an all-star game or something. Or anything.
Anything. Uncle Gary, come on. Get your bobblehead over here.
Give us a little something, would you?
I mean, we've had a Super Bowl, an NFL draft, and we can't get you to give us an all-star game?
No, apparently we can't. That's just not allowed.
Didn't even give us... I mean, we got a Winter Classic, sure, but that was in Ann Arbor. So that doesn't even count for Detroit.
It kind of counts.
What is with this punk?
I mean, it's the only stadium in the Metro Detroit area that can hold 100,000 people, so...
Yeah. No, they did it, too. They did it, too. Anyway.
But... As far as Michigan goes, I mean, it's exactly what I told you would happen. They won.
Yep.
I told you from the beginning, like, if you're able to put pressure on Michael Penix Jr., and I told you I thought you could do that, and you did that very well. Your special teams didn't completely, ask the bed this time, so that was nice.
that was nice to see.
Like, you did everything really that you had to do. You owned the time of possession battle. You did those those plays that just grind down the clock and did what Michigan really historically does best, and you got you a natty out of it.
Yes, you did.
A natty that half your fan base, other fan pages are going to tell you is tainted in some way, shape, or form. I'm not going to go so far as to say that. Look, you beat Bama and you beat Washington.
Yep.
I'm not going to, other than going out and beating Georgia, I don't think that there's anything else you could have done that could have made a stronger case for you being the best team in the nation.
It takes a big man to say that. Good for you.
The problem I have is,
when
Jim Harbaugh goes on TV afterwards and goes on about, we're innocent. No, you're not. That it has been pretty well conclusively proven that you were not innocent in any of this. There is too much crap that went on around that program for you to come out here and say, we're innocent. No, absolutely not. I mean, am I gonna put an asterisk on this because you cheated? Of course not. Because then I would have had to do the same thing to the Strohs for their scandal, which I didn't, as you'll remember.
Yes, you did. I mean, you did not. Correct.
And I would have had to put the same thing on the Patriots with the Deflategate stuff.
Yep.
And I'm the first person here arguing that Brady is absolutely unquestionably the GOAT, whatever you think about deflated balls or whatever. So in order to be consistent about this, yeah, you cheated, you got away with it. Good on you. You're the national title, and you guys absolutely didn't need to do it to win. But, God, can we back off the whole, we're innocent, we never did anything wrong thing? Like, can we just admit, okay, yeah, we effed up. Can we have some sort of accountability instead of still trying to hold ourselves up as some sort of ridiculous paragon of integrity, the leaders and best, and so on and so
forth? Okay, the leaders and best, that gets a little...
Can we just not?
That gets a little rough. But the answer...
That's all I'm saying.
The answer is no. No, you can't, because there's so much money on there that if he goes down there and says, yeah, we screwed up, there's going to be lawsuits, there's going to be everything else, things are going to be taken away. Every lawyer is telling Harbaugh, say you're innocent, don't admit to anything. They could have Harbaugh peeking over another coach's shoulder with a pen and paper right and saying, we got footage of you doing that. And the lawyer would be like, tell him it wasn't you.
That's
how it works.
There's not admitting to anything, and there's outright lying that we didn't do anything. Like, that's the part that gets me, the we're innocent thing. Like, you just didn't have to address it at all. Like, we're not gonna comment about that, whatever. It's the full-throated, the same crap that we heard from the entire fan base when they suspended Harbaugh the second time around, and we're about to, like, legally challenge it until, the day they were going to go to court, that mysteriously got dropped. Probably because they knew they'd done wrong and they were going to get laughed out of court.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff, but I just hope they don't try to vacate this national championship because, I mean, the players earned it. The players on the field, they earned this championship.
I don't know. Blake Corum is literally in business with Counter Stallions. Like, there's an LLC filed in the whole bit. Like, I don't. I after seeing that whole thing, I have a hard time believing that the players didn't know anything about what was going on. Can't really buy that. But that said, you got your natty, enjoy it. They can vacate the wins, but you saw what you saw. They can't take that away from you.
That's right.
We don't have like the mind erasers from Men in Black yet that I know of. To like
Roger Goodell. Just be, hi, we'd like everybody to tune in for this special event.
We're going to address the call that got that our refs effed up at the end of the Dallas-Detroit game, and tune out just Goodell.
And just erase everybody's memory, except for those people who cut the cord and can't see it. What happened? I was in the outhouse. What happened?
Right, that's... There is still that, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, lots more to do this afternoon. Don't go anywhere. It is happy hour. Stick around. Foster the People, your local alternative solid state radio. My, good to see that whole, the first possible round of Death Storm 2023, or 24.
Whatever year it
totally is. Totally turned out exactly like they said it would.
Yeah, it was a total bum kiss. I mean, it was cold. I was walking out to my car, and of course, I had to get. This is the day I had to get gas, so you know, standing in that wind and the rain and everything else. Yeah, that was not fun. But yeah, I was expecting like big snow and you know having to unbury my car and
right. I'm rather thankful that we don't have to do that.
Monday, it's the temperature going to drop. I mean, we're in the 30s up until Monday, and then it's down into the teens. That's going to suck.
Well, at least it's not going to be. At least we're not going to get a bunch of precipitation during that stretch. I should have figured that this would be around the time of the year that we'd finally that the weather would catch up with us.
Yeah, we've been lucky. We really have. So we'll have to see what's going on. The Red Wings. Swept their West Coast trip.
You're now talking 1 to 3 inches for Saturday.
Are they?
That whole that winter storm keeps getting pushed back further.
It's you know what that is. It's weather men, weather women, weather people keeping themselves in a job. Oh well, what we meant was
right
over the weekend. Yeah, so yeah, you have plans for the weekend. Well, better hunker down.
Right.
And of course, at the store, milk was bought out, and you know, bread was bought out, and everything else. And
how much milk and bread do people really go through?
That
they always need to stock up like crazy during storms.
I am convinced that some people just enjoy an event like that. They enjoy a panic.
A panic.
You see. I've seen people like see each other going down the aisles. Ha! Must be a snow day. Yeah, I see. Yeah, they see each other only when they're stocking up for a snow day. And sometimes I think these introvert people are just begging, hoping. Like, I'm snowed in for a couple of days. I had to stock up on coffee and bread and everything. I guess I'm just going to have to stay home. And then the rain comes in, melts everything.
Right. Oh,
takes them right off.
Right. Oh, no. We actually do have to go back out into public. No.
This is terrible.
It's the worst thing ever.
But, yeah, I mean, it's Michigan. I mean, besides like 1978, I think there was another blizzard in like 1980 or something like that. We've had some bad snowstorms, don't get me wrong, but not to the point where, you know, you weren't able to leave your house in a day or two.
Yeah, no, like nothing that's ever gotten that crazy in my lifetime at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, now we're looking at Thursday, possible snow of less than an inch. Friday now, 1 to 3 inches. 5 to 8 inches expected Friday night. Another potential winter storm. Occasional 1 to 3 inches on Saturday. So that's great. Things, it just keeps getting pushed back, so our weekend's going to be effed.
Yeah.
you know, I feel like you don't see in these situations that I'm kind of surprised that you don't. Like, we always see people just buying out milk, bread, and, okay, toilet paper at least makes sense. But how is there never a run on liquor stores? That's what I don't understand. That's the thing that really gets me. Like, how is there never a run on the liquor stores? Explain that to me.
Oh, there are. You'll see, like, you know, some milk and some bread and some eggs, and then on the back is just, like, you know, a couple 24 packs of Bud. If I'm going to be trapped in the house, I'm not going to do it sober.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, because that'd be my first thing. Like, I'm not. Okay, I've got enough food. I need to stock up on booze because I need to be sufficiently drunk to make it through this. I mean, maybe not this month, but
he's staring at the family. He's like, I need to be liquored up to hang out with you people.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, during the pandemic, when everything was shut down, our liquor sales were up 700%.
I believe it. That doesn't surprise me at all.
So I guess if we're doing this.
If we're doing this, we're going to be effed up while we're doing it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's at least the first thing I would do, but that's just me and I'm just an alcoholic, so don't, you know, take my word as gospel by any means. We'll talk about the Wings coming up. Right now, here's Revivalist at Solid State Radio. The Bottle Rockets at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Yeah, one of those Wings 103 blasts from the past or whatever.
Ooh, yeah.
It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And okay, we've put this off long enough, Adam. Hey, we had to let you get in your gloating about U of M. So,
so much gloating, sure.
Oh, yeah. So now, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
The Red Wings, since...
The Red Wings.
The Red Wings have not lost a game in 2024. They are quoted as saying, we went from feeling sorry for ourselves to feeling good for ourselves. And they should. They went out west and got work done.
Good on them.
5-3 win against San Jose, 4-3 win against Los Angeles, and a 3-2 win against Anaheim, a game that they lost without having to score 4 goals. So there's that going for them, which is nice. So, I mean, we had goals from Dylan Larkin on Sunday. Trevor Zegras for Anaheim, of course, because that guy, he's a star. The guy, but Dylan Larkin on the power play. Joey Valeno with a goal that they had to really look at. They had to really get the instant review going on. And then Michael Rasmussen, all you people that just want to hate on him, he just scored his 9th of the season. How are you doing out there in Judgment Land?
I'm doing great, thank you very much.
Alex Lyon, calm, collected, 29 saves on the night. So, I mean, he is looking like he is really pushing to be the starter. Nespa?
It would seem that way.
Correct, Mundo?
I'm just disappointed that I no longer have that stat to throw out.
Well, you might get it back. I mean, they're playing...
Well, I can't get it back because they've now won a game with scoring less than 4 goals.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll start a new stretch of that. They're playing Edmonton on Thursday.
That stat is all I had, Adam. You don't understand.
Don't take that away from me. So, I mean, good on them.
So, West Coast sweep, though.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Exactly. So, and then, for us Red Wings faithful, we have other things to celebrate. Team USA beat everybody. Came out on top. Gold medal in the World Junior Classic.
Do we have anyone playing in this?
Just the starting goaltender, Trey Augustine.
Never heard of him. Next.
He went 4-0 in that stretch. 1.71 goal against average, and he's ours, ladies and gentlemen.
He is?
Yeah, he is.
Where is he at in our system then?
College, I believe.
So we're not going to see him for 5-6 more years.
Well, future's looking bright. On the other side, they're playing Sweden. We have that. I can't remember this cat's name. I butcher it every single time. It's Alex Mario Pokemon. I can't remember what his name
is. Sure, we'll go with that. Alex Mario Pokemon. Sounds good to me.
I'll get his name. I mean, he was in the gold medal game as well for Sweden. He's out indefinitely. Axel Sandin Pelikka, he's out indefinitely with an injury. One thing to notice is, and I can't remember the cat's, I'm going to space out on this guy's name. Anyway, he is a draft pick of ours. He plays for Sweden, Johansson. Johansson is his last name. He receives his silver medal and immediately takes it off and throws it away. I guess he's a hothead. He's a fiery competitor, and he's another Red Wings prospect. So, I mean, future's looking bright, kids.
Hopefully he's like, you know, fiery in the good way and not in like the Philip Zadina way.
Yeah.
I'll fill your net with pucks and then never score a goal.
Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, so it was good to see old Zadina playing for the Sharks the other day when they were able to win against him. But yeah, it's
good. Always good to see him when they lose.
Yeah. I'm glad to see you didn't fill our net full of pucks. Thanks,
no,
bud.
No, he certainly did.
Thanks for taking it easy on us. We appreciate that so much, Z.
Yeah.
No, real. Z, I'm sorry. Z is Zetterberg's nickname. We can't do that to him.
Yeah, you don't get to be Z.
Dina, Funky Cold Zadina.
I mean, that works. Sure.
Perfect. So, future's looking bright for the Red Wings. And, apparently, I saw like some good news coming out of the NHL that Gary Bettman was, you like international play? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, you know, we got something coming up. And I remember everybody's like, Winter Olympics? And he's like, no, don't just pump the brakes.
Nope, we're putting a regular season game on the other side of the effing world, probably.
No, he wants to put together a tournament using NHL players from other countries, which is great if you want teams from Sweden, USA, Finland, Canada.
And sucks for everybody else.
Yeah, how many German? Do you think you got enough German players in the NHL to form a team? I highly doubt it.
Oh, please. Sider and Stutzla could just beat everybody just by themselves.
Yeah.
Are they? I feel like there has to be at least one
because
those are the only two to come to mind for me.
Well, there's another prospect from the Wings. He plays for Team Germany. Yes,
Team Germany.
Yes. Any way you want it, baby. Team Germany. He put up a goal in these playoffs. Another note while you're looking that up is Nate Danielson. A goal and a couple assists for Team Canada.
There you go. Okay, so there's a few. Grubauer. So you have a solid goalie in net.
Okay.
Nico Daws. He's apparently a goaltender as well.
Draisaitl. Oh, geez.
Yeah, I completely forgot Draisaitl, man. Like, that's... I apparently dropped the ball there. So, yeah, you've got a solid, you know...
You do. Nico Sturm. Okay.
Yeah. Nico Sturm, Sturm, Stutzla, and Draisaitl on the first line. That'd be pretty damn good.
And Danny O'Brien. O'Regan. Oh, that wonderful German name, O'Regan. Absolutely. Okay.
He was born in Berlin, apparently, so technically counts.
It counts.
And then it drops off pretty sharply from there. Like, there's only literally 9 active German NHL players.
Ah, gotcha.
But you have, well, you can pull Thomas Greiss out of retirement. He's only been gone for a year.
You'd have to.
So, I mean, you'd have a solid, solid top five and a goaltender or two.
I mean,
that's about it.
I mean, I guess thank you, Uncle Gary, for extending an olive branch about international play. Like,
but just make it the damn Olympics,
just,
would you?
Just send him to the Olympics. Stop him hauling around. Stop it, because they're talking about numbers. They're talking about money. That's what it all is. And the Olympics needs to, they need to soften up a little bit too. Oh, well, you know, that footage belongs to the Olympics and you can't use it in any promotion or anything for the NHL, but you're using our players. Well, too bad, so sad.
Yeah, I hate that. Like, there's no reason for that.
The International Olympic, International Ice Hockey.
International Ice Hockey Federation, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. They have to be feeling the pinch about not having NHLers.
You would think that.
They have to. Say, wow, yeah, this team, it would have been great, but, you know, no Bedard, no McDavid.
We don't have the best players in the sport.
Yeah, I guess we're going to just try our best. And they got to be hearing it from all the fan bases,
right?
and ratings. And
because basketball always gets, like, the dream team, you know, back in the day, and they still get, like, the best players on earth during the Summer Olympics, right? Like, they still get all, like, the biggest names to compete in that.
Yes, they do.
Like, it's embarrassing that the NHL can't muster up the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's all this talk about growing the game internationally by throwing either a meaningless game in Sweden or a meaningful game somewhere in, like, China or Japan or whatever.
Right.
Like, a random regular season game. But we can't actually, like, participate in real international competition?
Yeah, come on. Get off the pot, Uncle Gary.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Just you give the people what they want. You know what we want. Just maybe consider giving it to us. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you got to sweeten us up a little bit because we're only a couple years away from the next lockout.
Yeah, I feel like we're...
Maybe that's why he's doing it, because, like, the next Olympics is, like, during the end of the contract. So, ready for a lockout.
Yeah, you kind of wonder there if maybe that's where we're headed. Because that expires at the end of the 25-26 season. So, We're not, like, super... I mean, we're a couple years away. Like, we have 2 more full seasons before it would kick in,
right,
before it would expire. But still, we'd like to not have to, like, shut the whole sport down for, like, a half a season or a full season again.
Right, exactly.
The last thing this league needs. Here's Cannons. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Taproot at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. We got a little bit of football to discuss here,
yeah,
because, of course, we're going into wild card weekend where the Lions, as the team that didn't manage to clinch the number one overall, are going to be playing this weekend. And CBS Sports has their rankings out of every team that qualified for the postseason. I'll let Adam kind of decide how we're going to progress on this, but in the meantime, cue the music.
Well, what we're going to do is I'm going to have you, Sean Cantwell.
Yes.
Rank the 14 teams that are currently in playoff spots.
You're going to have me rank them.
Upsets and surprises are all part of the experience, so it'd be foolish to count on just about anything.
So in that case,
I'm going through from I'm ripping this off from CBS Sports, but here's how we'd rank all the contenders going into the tournament.
Ravens have to be first, right?
From least likely to most likely to hoist the trophy on Super Bowl Sunday.
Ravens have to be at the top. There's no way they're not.
Let me keep scrolling because they got pictures and ads and everything else.
I mean, so, Lamar Jackson has been absolutely just fantastic this year.
Yep.
The defense has been as good as can be expected. Like, if there's like a almost locked in, like, guaranteed Super Bowl team in the AFC, it has to be is the Ravens, at least in my mind.
It is the Ravens with their 13-4 record. Absolutely. You're going to be seeing a lot of them. Good job.
How about the Niners? I mean, they're the best team in the NFC by record and everything else, even if they kind of got a little bit tripped up here late in the year. But it wouldn't surprise me to see this team be, like, they're going to be in the NFC title game regardless. And a Super Bowl, I think, is very much in play for them.
Yes, they come in at number two, 49ers with their 12-5 record.
I mean, you've got the MVP candidate on your team, and he's not even, like, in the top four players on a squad. I mean, they've got so many weapons going for him. They still have an elite defense. Like, it's going to be hard for any team in the NFC to get past them.
Yep.
From there, from there, I'd put the Dolphins, honestly.
The Dolphins, they come in.
There's a lot of injury concerns there right now, but when healthy, when that team's firing all cylinders, there's very few defenses in the league that can contain them.
They come in at number seven.
Wow, that far down. That's amazing to me. Like, I know they're... There's a lot of injury concerns right now, but they're still, I think, better than any team not named Baltimore in the AFC. Were they going to put Buffalo, like, in the top five?
They did. They put Buffalo at number three, and I don't agree with that. I mean, they had a decent season, 11-6, but it's not. I mean, I guess I'm comparing recent seasons to this one, and that's not fair, but they just seem like they missed a step.
They've struggled to close things out when, you know, early on in this season, and at times it seemed like Sean McDermott's own job might be on the line. They sacked their OC midway through the season. I just don't really have faith that they're going to make it particularly far in these playoffs. Now, I'd have to see what the matchups are looking like here. Because I don't remember who they faced in the first round. I think it might be... Like, if they have to face...
I just saw a graphic of that, too.
Right, so they're going to be playing in the first round the Steelers. Okay, you should beat the Steelers. Keyword being, you should beat the Steelers.
Yes.
And they probably will. I'd be honestly kind of surprised and a bit disappointed in the Bills if they didn't manage to do that. But that's not saying a whole lot. Like,
any given Sunday.
That's true, but yeah, I expect Buffalo to take care of business there, but I don't see them going any further than that. Huh, how about KC?
Oh, of course. The Chiefs, yes. They're coming in number four.
Okay. I mean, it's... I'm pretty...
The Kansas Swifties.
Expecting that. Like, their defense has been top five in sacks across the league. And there's been some struggles on the offense, but this is a team that thrives in the playoffs. Can I just say, by the way, it's absolutely hilarious to me that the Kansas City first-round game is the one that's getting bumped to streaming only.
Really?
Yeah, that's the game that's going to be on Peacock. All the Swifties are going to have to shell out whatever money to get Peacock. That's hilarious to me. I'm going to laugh when, like, that ends up being the lowest rated game. I feel like NBC knew what they were doing because they knew that there's enough of these Swifty wackos out there. Yep. That are going to shell out the money. No other fan base was going to be willing to pay extra money to watch their team's games above cable.
You've seen how much they shell out to see her in concert.
Yeah, how much they shell out to like have a seat like behind the stage.
Oh, absolutely.
These are not smart people, Adam.
No, they're not.
Makes you really think the NFL knows what they're doing. I love it. Good. We can get all the Swift coverage off of our airwaves and into one place where the rest of civilized football fandom just doesn't have to deal with it, and that is entirely fine with me.
See, there's a bunch of stink being raised about the Golden Globes. Joe Coy, the comic, was the host, and in his open monologue made a joke that it's going to be different from the NFL in the fact that there's only going to be two camera shots of Taylor Swift. And everybody got so upset.
Apparently, you're just not allowed to make fun of her in any way, shape, or form.
No, you're not. In the face, she was just like eye daggers. And everybody's like, he can't make fun of her love life. He made no reference to her love life. He voiced a frustration that a lot of NFL fans were feeling. Too much of her. Too much of her. It's supposed to be about football. If anything, it was a jab at the NFL television crew, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, my God. Someone might have said something that wasn't entirely complimentary of our queen. How dare they? They must die.
Off with their heads.
All right. How about the Cowboys?
Them boys, number 5.
I kind of expected that. I mean, they did have something of a surge of late. They went and knocked Philly off for the NFC East. Give them credit there. CeeDee Lamb is basically unstoppable, as the Lions found out when we played him in Week 17.
Yep.
And then certainly Micah Parsons has been more than doing his part on defense. Deron Bland, you know, much the same. We'll see if they can actually get it done in the playoffs. Jerry Jones, I don't know if you saw this. There was an interview. Jerry Jones was asked about Mike McCarthy, and it sounds like they're very much taking it on a week-by-week basis. Like, he could still, even after making the playoffs this year, still potentially get fired as head coach of that team.
Wow. What's a guy got to do to keep a job in the NFL?
Well, apparently it's Super Bowl or bust for old Jarrah. I don't know.
Yeah, right?
That's amazing to me and kind of hilarious, and also I can't think of a better guy for it to happen to and a better organization for it to happen to. Okay, your Detroit Football Lions have to be at least number 6, right?
They are exactly at number 6. Taking on Matt Stafford and the stupid Rams.
I mean, I will say this. You should win this game. It's going to be a shootout, no doubt about it. Neither your defenses are particularly good. The thing that concerns me, well, Jared Goff gets prone to throwing turnovers when another team has a strong defensive front coming after him.
Yep.
He's very, very prone to that, as we've seen, and that is not something the Lions can afford to have, especially potentially still being without Sam Laporta this week.
Yeah.
And your defense concerns me. Your secondary has concerned me from day one. The Lions really never did anything to address it. I would have liked to see a little more playmaking on the... I would like to see another playmaker added on your front, too, but that just didn't happen. But with a healthy offense, I think you can do enough to get potentially to the NFC title game. I'll say that right now. Lock it in.
All right. You're doing well. What else you got?
All right. So I've got, the top 7 thus far?
Yep.
How far down are the Eagles?
Eagles, they come in all the way. Wow, I'm scrolling. Number 12.
Really?
Yeah, the mighty have fallen.
I'm not surprised, but that defense absolutely cannot stop anybody, and I think they're going to regret having turned over the defensive play calling to Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
They are absolutely, if they're not kicking themselves for doing that now, they should be. Like, that might be the thing that, I mean, that was a team that looked like world beaters. Like, they went on a 10-1 start. They looked like they were the Super Bowl favorite. And then old Matty Patty comes in and just screws it all up royally.
Yep.
You just hate to see it.
Sort of.
I don't hate to see it at all. I love it. It's
Patricia, and it's also Philly. So, I mean.
Yeah, like, I love it on every level. So, I'm going to guess from here, though, that, like, probably the stupid Rams are next.
Stupid Rams come in a little higher. A little higher. This may dismay you a little bit, but they come all the way up to number 8.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I figured they were going to be placed right about there. Yep. I mean, the O-line hasn't been great, but the offense has been really solid. I mean, the weapons they've got, Puka Nacua, he just came out of nowhere when Cooper Kupp got hurt. And he's going to be a stud in this league for years to come. I still think they're losing in the first round, but but still,
yeah, I hope like, so.
Same. And let's just guess the Cleveland Browns next year.
Cleveland Browns come in at number 10 in this ranking.
I mean, I know Joe Flacco, yeah, but everything else has been. Just and he's been doing really well. Like the passing attack has been really solid, honestly. I don't know if it'll play against a playoff team, but Jim Schwartz right now, and I've been saying it all year, best defensive coordinator in the National Football League. And I've already seen his name thrown out in the mix for multiple head coaching gigs again. He might be the one to break the curse of coaches never getting hired for head coaching gigs again after leaving Detroit.
Yeah, he's done a lot of great things.
He might be the guy who actually does it.
It would make sense.
I could see that. Okay, let's close out the top 10 then. Houston?
Houston Texans at number 9 with their 10-7 record.
I will admit, as a guy who didn't think highly of what was left of this Texans squad, and as an Ohio State hater, I didn't expect C.J. Stroud to come in and do this much this early. My God, he's gone in there and he's turned this team around. Like, DeMeco Ryans needs to be in Coach of the Year. He's still, in my mind, he's still the favorite for Coach of the Year. Like, no one has gotten more out of less this season than he has. And the defense has been better than anyone could have possibly hoped for as well. Are they going to make a deep run this year? No, I don't think so. They go up in this round against the Browns. I think you could beat Cleveland. Jim Schwartz is going to make it hard for you to do. But you have as good a chance as anybody at moving on to the next round. Now, I believe that would put you then up against Miami or KC, and I don't like your odds there, but I absolutely think that you could go out there and you could be, as long as you don't run up against the Ravens, I think you have a shot in the second round.
Right.
But the Texans will absolutely, I think there's a good chance they win a playoff game this year and a lot sooner than a lot of people thought they would. So there we go. We got your top 10. Let's hit a break. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. The 1975 at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And I don't know. Apparently, Adam wants to just run me through the rails on something.
Yeah. Well, first, we got to say big 80th birthday to Jimmy Page, the Led Zeppelin guitar player legend, and turns 80 years old. He went from looking like a rock star to looking like he heads up a bird watching club.
That's pretty true.
Happy birthday, Jimmy. No, there is something that was released today, January 9th, 1984. Now, I'm going to give Sean 20 questions. I'm going to allow him 20 questions to try to guess what was released January 9th, 1984.
January 9th, 1984.
Yeah, you can ask about it to like dwindle things down, and then if you feel confident, you can make your guess.
Okay. It's an album of some sort, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Rock album, I'm assuming.
Correctamundo. As he just put his phone down, I'm sure that he's a little cheater.
Anyway. I have done no such thing, sir.
Okay.
Is it an album that shares the name with the year that we're talking here?
Yes.
Van Halen?
Yes. Well, that was fun.
You seem surprised. I mean, come on, 1984. It's literally the name of the album.
Yeah, I know.
I actually guessed it was going to be a Kiss album, but I don't think Kiss put out a good record in 84.
Yes, they did.
Did they?
I think that's when Animal Eyes came out.
Okay, I said good record.
Hey, Heaven's on Fire is on that record.
Heaven's on Fire is okay.
But yeah, I mean, 1984, last one with the four original members.
Game changer.
Oh, absolutely. And well,
unfortunately, it's where also Eddie started doing all the pop synth keyboard stuff.
The absolute cojones on EVH, where he is, you know, known as one of the best guitar players, and he moves over to keyboards.
Yeah, we're just gonna get all poppy and release a bunch of, you know, keyboard heavy stuff. That makes as much sense as anything. That's the bulls on this man.
Our mutual friend Eddie Lane, when we were all in a band together, I know the riff to Jump, and he's like, "Nope, we're not doing that one. Nope."
He's the biggest Van Halen fan I think I've ever met.
And I don't think if he owns it, that baby probably has a bullet hole right through his forehead through the album cover.
Well, no, because there's some good songs on there that even he Panama. Likes just played on stage. Panama, Hot for Teacher, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
I mean that's about it. I mean, I guess you can make an argument for. I think he rather digs Drop Dead Legs too.
Drop Dead Legs is a great tune. That's probably one of my favorites. Yeah.
Do I ever need to hear Jump or I'll Wait again? Not really, but
I'm can't picture I'll Wait.
You've heard the song. It still gets played. It still gets overplayed on classic rock radio to this day.
I probably have. I'll have to go home and check that out. But yeah, Top Jimmy. I don't remember Top Jimmy. Girl Gone Bad and House of Pain. So I don't know. But then then they bring in Sammy Hagar, and everybody wants to blame Sammy Hagar for their direction, but it wasn't him.
Yeah, no, they had already started doing that like an album ago. Like, yep. I don't like a lot of Van Hagar's stuff. But and I think Eddie had already gone in that direction. There's some good rockers in the Van Hagar discography, but they get overshadowed by crap like When It's Love and Right Now.
Yeah, I mean, I love the entire For an Unlawful Carnal Knowledge album. I think that's a great record. But yeah, there's a lot of piano, a lot of ballads, and I don't know. I just get the feeling every time I hear like.
I mean, Pound Cake, fantastic track.
Oh, yeah. Top of the World, Run Around.
I don't ever need to hear Right Now again, though.
No. I mean, that whole Crystal Pepsi campaign.
That kind of ruined it.
Right now, you're drinking a false product.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, you hear this song, you immediately think about, like, wait a minute, this is clear pop so it's going to taste like Sprite, and it doesn't. Yeah, this is weird, and I don't understand it.
Van Halen.
Tastes flat.
We wrote a song that was going to change the world and make people think inward, and then Pepsi says, can we use it to hawk our Crystal Cola? Yeah, sure. Someone told me that was a Warner Brothers plan.
Right. I still can't believe they actually brought that back, and then I love that when they did bring it back, no one bought it.
It tanked.
Like, I saw, like, that stuff just sitting on your shelves at the store you worked at forever.
I didn't even buy one. I was like, well, what about the nostalgia? I didn't like it beforehand. I mean, it tasted like Pepsi. A lot of people say, it tastes like 7-Up. It doesn't taste like 7-Up. It tastes like Pepsi, but a flat Pepsi.
And you were absolutely right, because I did go and buy it. Like, yeah, this tastes flat. Like, there's something off about this, and it's not just the fact that it has no color. Like, it turns out that... that whatever coloring adds something to enough to the taste. I don't know how that is. It's probably also going to give us both cancer. But
do you or someone you know drink Crystal Pepsi and your bottom lip just fell right off? You may be entitled for compensation.
With this song in the background. Yeah, right. Of the lawyer commercial.
Make sure you call them right now. They got a lot of money for me.
Help us file our class action lawsuit today.
Thanks to Crystal Pepsi, I can't whistle. I can't kiss anybody.
I don't know how I'm talking right now.
Yeah, they'll call them right now.
This, by the way, was like you've heard this song, dude. You're not going to tell me.
Oh, no, I have. Absolutely.
Like, this song still gets overplayed on the local classic rock stations to this day, which is unfortunate because it's at best, the sixth best song on the record.
Yeah.
Like, I'd put it below Jump, quite frankly.
Well, they were seeing what was going on with the temperature of the music world. Zeppelin. Everybody was going this way.
Yeah. No, no doubt about that.
I mean, even Zeppelin, towards like the late 70s, was kind of like trampled underfoot. There was a lot of keyboards in that. And
oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it was a natural progression. And we look back and go, 80s. But that's what it is. Fleetwood Mac was doing that. Everybody was. Genesis went from a hard rock and prod band to whatever. And I'm not bagging on Invisible Touch because I think that's a great tune. But, I mean, a lot of keyboards in that too.
Like, well, they just went super poppy in general. Like, they did. It just kept getting poppier until I Can't Dance came out. Like,
yeah, I Can't Dance. Everybody's like, I can't listen.
Yeah, like,
I'm done.
At that point, I think everyone just kind of decided, okay, that's really enough of this. Like, this doesn't really need to get any poppier than what we're at this point. Like, we could be done with this, right?
Is that on the same album, that pretentious song where, you know, I'm walking along the beach and this girl's crying and I pretend not to see her, I kick stand in her face or whatever, I can't. You know what song I'm talking about?
In the Air Tonight?
No, no, no. That's a great. That's a classic. No, no. It's
I don't.
It's on the same record. I'm pretty sure of it.
I don't know.
It's basically like, you know, how dare you for ignoring all the people in need and stuff like that. At least this song was fun.
I mean, yeah. I guess they had that going for them, if nothing else, and then possibly nothing else. But yeah.
I mean, the first 300 times I heard it, it's fine. It was the other 1,000 that year. I was like, okay, no.
I'll still probably take that over Invisible Touch, the actual the title track of the album.
I love that track. I love the whole album. Land of Confusion.
I mean, Land of Confusion is a great
Tonight. I mean, that's,
I'm okay with Tonight. Yeah,
that's a cool track.
like I will give you Land of Confusion. That's probably one of my like in my top five of their all time.
Oh, yeah. That's a great tune. I love the video that came out during that one. That was really cool. But I love, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not just keyboards, computer.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just something that sounds like a piano. Nope. Sounds like you just linked up to the internet in the 90s.
Kind of. Like, this sounds like my dial-up modem from...
It does, though. Everybody's like, oh, this is so space age. This is awesome. Oh, maybe not so much. There's Phil Collins.
Right. Yeah, a little less spacey,
Collins,
I guess.
Phil Collins. The worst thing that ever happened to Led Zeppelin at Live Aid. Get rid of him.
I don't think it was even his fault, though. Like, he takes the blame for
he
it.
He does
but,
take the blame, but yeah, it was not his fault.
No, like, they just let him be the scapegoat, and it's the one time where I will absolutely say Phil Collins got hosed. Like, he got just maligned so hard for that. He's a entirely fine drummer.
Yeah, he's not John Bonham.
There was two of them, weren't there? Because it was him and it was the guy from, like, Chic or something, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because they had two drummers for that set for reasons I still don't understand.
Yeah, Plant and Page both said that they had no business being on that stage. They were not prepared. I think that's what took them so long before the O2 gig. It wasn't Wembley. It was O2 Stadium for
yeah.
them to reunite.
Right. That's true. And that... probably, honestly, should have scared them away from playing for a little bit longer just because, I mean, the last time was so atrocious. Like, I'm sorry. I got to kill this. I can't do any more of this Genesis stuff. Yeah. Like, I like them in spots, but, like, that's not a song of theirs that I particularly dig.
Yeah, so happy birthday to 1984, released 40 years ago today. And I'm also on Jimmy Page's birthday.
There you go.
All right.
Here is... Actually, I don't know what the hell... What the hell is next? That's a good question.
Might want to talk to the program director about that one.
Might need to. Here's Sleep Token, your local alternative to Solid State Radio. Smashing Pumpkins at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Real quick, I wanted to touch on this with you in the room. Did you see where they're like... They basically posted this whole Craigslist ad across all of their social media looking for a new guitar player?
Smashing Pumpkins, yeah.
I thought that was rather fantastic.
And that's a definite new approach. I feel bad for their management just being inundated by every hack guitar player.
Yeah, because you know, like you're not getting the best and brightest at the, you know, auditioning for the. I mean, there might be some good players in there, but you know, for every like this guy legitimately has a chance to be in this band, you know, you're getting like at least 10 or 20 hacks.
Well,
who don't even know how to play like one of their songs all the way through.
Well, one of the guys is one of our own, Donald Dobus. He is Never the Crash. He's also in a Falling Stars, the Smashing Pumpkins tribute act.
Okay.
And he has put in his, he's put his hat in the ring.
Well, if anyone were actually going to be qualified to do it,
yep.
I suppose there's your guy.
So, I mean, if they were Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan was going to call us right now, hey, we want you guys to decide. Our vote is for Dobus.
I saw a couple guys that had thrown their name into the ring in some capacity or that got tagged in the comments. I saw Rob for the Dead Serious actually got tagged in the comments.
Really?
I think Mike Leslie, formerly of, among other things, Candlebox.
Yeah.
Also may have probably submitted his application. I saw he got tagged in the comments of that thing.
Yeah.
I can go from being in Candlebox to being in the Smashing Pumpkins. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, all of a sudden it's like, you see on Nikki Six's Facebook page, oh, I can't believe John 5 took off and joined Smashing Pumpkins.
Traitor! Right? How much you want to bet it's going to be someone who's already a name?
Oh, that would completely destroy what they're doing right now. But yeah, I mean,
it would, but it's also Billy Corgan. Does he really care?
No, he really doesn't. It's going to be Jerry Cantrell.
He's been fine, I feel like, with being the supervillain. Like, he's a big wrestling guy. He's all about playing the heel.
Yeah.
I think he'd be entirely fine with doing that. Like, yeah, we've announced a new guitar since, like, Mick Mars from Motley Crue or something.
There you go.
Just to completely throw everybody off.
It's Dave Grohl, everybody.
The move that everyone kind of expected, but is still disappointed by nonetheless.
Yes.
It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Happy hour here at your local alternative Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge on a Tuesday afternoon. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. All being well, we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3 with, whatever the hell it is that we normally do on this show. See ya!